Sanat Kumar continued, "My dear King, you already have an inclination to glorify the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such attachment is very difficult to achieve. But when one has attained such unflinching faith in the Lord, it automatically cleanses lusty desires from the core of the heart." Report by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Satam prasangam mama virya sambido bhavanti hrit karna rasayana kata tajjosanad asvapavarga vartmani sridharatir bhaktir anukramishyati. By association with devotees, dirty things within the heart of a materialistic man are gradually washed away by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As silver becomes shiny by being polished, the heart of a materialistic person is cleansed of lusty desires by the good association of devotees. Actually, the living being has no connection with this material enjoyment, nor with lusty desires. He is simply imagining or dreaming while asleep. But by the association of pure devotees, he is awakened, and immediately the spirit soul is situated in his own glory by understanding his constitutional position as the eternal servant of the Lord. Prithu Maharaj was already a self-realized soul. Therefore, he had a natural inclination to glorify the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Kumaras assured him that there was no chance of his falling victim to the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. In other words, the process of hearing and chanting about the glories of the Lord is the only means to clarify the heart of material contamination. By the process of karma, jnana, and yoga, no one will succeed in driving away the contamination from the heart. But once a person takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord by devotional service, automatically all dirty things in the heart are removed without difficulty. We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 22, entitled Prithu Maharaj Meeting with the Kumaras, text number 20. Sanat Kumar, along with his brothers, were previously immersed in Brahman realization of the Absolute Truth. As 4-year-old children, they were in such a state of transcendentalism that they were completely aloof to all desires of this material world. They had no greed, no anger, no pride, not a tinge of lust, no envy. They did not even recognize the dualities that keep everyone utterly captivated with material desires. When their own father, Lord Brahma, ordered them to marry, to assist him in creating progeny within this universe, they refused. It's not so easy refusing Lord Brahma. He happens to be the most powerful person in the entire universe. And they're children. They were completely fearless. They were above material energy. But when they experienced the sweetness of devotional service. They considered their Brahman realization to be insignificant, of no relevance whatsoever. Sri Rupa Goswami describes it in such a wonderful way. His description is literally factual. It is not just an emotion. That compared to the vast, unlimited ocean of the happiness one derives from pure devotional service, the ananda, the ecstasy of Brahman realization, is not even a single tiny drop of happiness. Sanat Kumar, he is here revealing his own heart to Maharaj Prithu. What you have, King, is the most priceless treasure that is the most difficult thing to achieve within this world. An attraction to hear about and glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Out of the 8,400,000 species of life within material existence, everyone is seeking subtle or gross sense gratification. It is a place where Maituna Agara. Everyone is shackled by passionate desires, by selfish egoism. Actually, any selfish desire we have is a symptom of envy. Because everything is meant for Krishna's enjoyment. To have the desire to enjoy anything is a symptom of envy. Envy is a pollution. It is an unnatural, foreign element to the soul. In essence, it is disease, the root of all disease. Our constitutional nature is to be enjoyed, to serve, to want Krishna to enjoy us, to assist Krishna in enjoying his creation. That is the consciousness of every living being in this spiritual world. You cannot be there unless you have this pure state of selfless devotion. In the spiritual world, all walking is dancing. All speaking is singing. Everyone is 24 hours for all of eternity in bliss, united with one function, to just give pleasure to Sri Radha Gopinath. Such a wonderful world. There's only love. Any propensity other than love cannot exist in the spiritual world. There is unlimited variegatedness, but they are all extraordinarily wonderful ways of expressing love. Even anger in the spiritual world is just a very, very pleasing way of expressing love. Nothing exists except love. Our bodies are made out of love. Our minds are made out of love. Every tree, every plant, every person, the sky, it is all made out of love. It is all pervading love. And love is reciprocation. Because everything is personal in this spiritual world. And the nature of the soul in its pure state is to love Krishna. So there can be nothing but love. Love is not selfish. Love is always selfless. Love is always with the concern of the welfare and the happiness of the beloved. Love is a state of complete, uninhibited, unconditional giving of every aspect of our very existence for the pleasure of the object of our love. Within and without, there is not even the slightest inclination except to please Radha Gopinath for those who have love. And in that ecstatic trance, everyone is in complete unity. The diversity of the unity is something very, very pleasing and extraordinary. But everyone is in complete unity because they know that's the way to please Krishna. This material world is like a prison house for those who have any other desire than to love Krishna. It's also considered to be like a hospital. The Vaishnavas are like the doctors in the hospital. They are here to heal us. But all the patients are suffering from various aspects of the disease of selfishness and suffering terribly. Even the innocent little animals are somehow or other trying to be the enjoyer. Human society, it's just developed on this principle of being the enjoyer. To be attracted, to glorify and hear about Krishna is actually an expression of our desire to love God. Krishna only reciprocates with love. Bhakti, nothing else. Krishna does not personally care for our austerities or our knowledge or our wealth or our material capabilities or our acquisitions and attainments within this world of death. But even the simplest devotee, even that little spider that kicked the sand on the rocks between Rameshwaram and Sri Lanka, even that little spider conquered the heart of Ram. Krishna, he is attracted by love. Srinvatam sukata Krishna punja sravana kirtana. When Krishna within our heart sees that we're developing an attraction, an attachment to hearing and chanting his glories, he sees that that is an expression of love. And he responds by fulfilling the desire of that love, that our heart becomes completely pure, cleansed of all egoistic, selfish desire. But how? How is that possible? Sanat Kumar is telling Prithu Maharaj that how fortunate you are. This attraction to hear about Krishna, to chant the glories of the Lord, is so rare. It is so precious. Srila Prabhupada quotes from Lord Kapila Dev that such attraction to hear the glories of the Lord is the natural result of associating with sincere devotees. That is the basis of our bhakti. There are many millions of people in this land of India who gather together to hear the teachings, the pastimes, and the glories of the Lord. But their heart is not being cleansed because they are not hearing from the devotees. This is a very, very subtle but critical scientific understanding that we must have. Those who do not believe in the eternal personality of Godhead, in the eternal principle of devotional service in the spiritual world, cannot actually have attraction for the Lord. Their attraction is misplaced. When you hear the glories of Ram, when you hear the glories of Krishna and his avatars from Srimad Bhagavatam, from one who believes that ultimately the form and the pastimes of the Lord are in the state of pure goodness, but they are temporarily manifested within this material world. But ultimately, the highest state of liberation is to enter into the impersonal Brahman, where there is no personality, where there is no qualities, where there is no pastimes, where there is no name, where there is no you and me. There is only the oneness. That state of consciousness is permeating whatever they speak. And people who become very attracted to that message, they're not actually becoming attracted to the personality of Godhead. They're being attracted to a misconception of the Supreme Personality of God. Like a shadow. The shadow appears to have the same form as the substance, but there's not really anything in the shadow. So therefore, it is very, very important that the value of the association of devotees is carefully understood. In that association, all of these misconceptions can be eradicated. Otherwise, it is simply impossible. Krishna manifests himself through the hearts of his devotees. There's no other way. Just like in Jagannath Puri, when that one very, very learned, scholarly Brahmin came from Varanasi, Bhagavan Acharya heard his writings about Lord Jagannath. So beautiful. Such wonderful praise of the Lord. He wanted Lord Chaitanya to hear it. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he only will listen to that which is spoken with sincere and simple devotion. Anything else creates pain to his heart. So as a service, Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami, he would screen all literatures or any speaker before they could approach our Lord. So this devotee spoke in such a way, it sounded just like he was glorifying Lord Chaitanya and Lord Jagannath. However, Swarup Damodar Goswami could understand his intention. He wasn't attracted by his poetic glorification at all. In fact, he told the person, because you have written this, you are going to hell. Hare Krishna. Strong. Because he had the impersonal misconception. He did not understand who the Lord ultimately and truly is. In the association of devotees, the eternal nature of the soul is awakened. The other day we were discussing the Mahaprakash Lila of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sat Praharya Bhava. 21 continuous hours he fulfilled all of his devotees' desires. Why is that pastime so special? Especially because the prayers that those devotees offer is the very essence, the conclusion, and the way of achieving the highest goal. It is a fact. You can read all the Vedic literatures. You can study Srimad Bhagavatam and read it over 100 times and not understand what Shukadev Goswami is really trying to tell you. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was personally glorifying Sripad Madhavendrapuri, he explained this principle. That one can never understand the essence and conclusions of the Vedas or life itself just by study. In fact, by any way. Because the Vedas are Krishna. And Krishna reveals himself according to his own sweet will, in reciprocation to our particular intention. The only way to understand what is really bhakti is through the example of the Vaishnavas. What do the devotees pray for? What do the devotees value? All of our spiritual advancement is based on how we please Krishna. These devotees in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's leelas, they taught us how to please Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Without pleasing him, we can make no spiritual advancement. He's pleased by our attitude, by our inclinations, by our desires. So the Lord personally, through his associates, is revealing the hearts of his devotees just to teach us what pleases him. When Haridas Thakur is praying, let me become a dog somewhere in the proximity of the house of your devotee so that I can attain the remnants of their food. Let that food that has fallen from the mouth of your devotee be my worshipable object birth after birth after birth. How can anyone think like that? Unless they are in such an exalted state of consciousness. So humble. So pure. And then he claimed that I'm ashamed of myself. I'm so low, so fallen, so sinful. Who am I to ask for such an exalted benediction as that? It's like if a simple, diseased beggar comes to someone and says, make me the Prime Minister of India. Give me a beautiful palace and all the power over all other beings. How could someone ask for that? They usually ask for a few paisa or a few rupees. Yes? So Haridas Thakur, he's thinking, I'm asking for the most exalted, most precious, all-pervading treasure in all of creation. Who am I to ask for such a thing? I'm asking for the remnants that has fallen from the mouth of a Vaishnav. Please forgive me, Lord. I have no right to ask for such a thing. That is how much he valued service to the devotees. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was crying. He was weeping. He said, Haridas, I have become a prisoner within your heart. Your love has shackled me forever. I have no freedom. I have no independence. It's like this beautiful painting of our Srila Haridas Thakur Prabhu. Yasoda Mai, she is binding up Damodar, the Supreme Absolute Truth. Kunti Devi, when she remembered this scene, she was astounded. Fear personified is fearful of Krishna. And this is a fact. Vajahure mana srinandanandana abhaya charanaravindare. When we worship the Supreme Lord Krishna, and Krishna appears within our heart, as soon as Krishna appears in our heart, then fear has to fly away, cannot remain there. Where there is Krishna, there cannot be fear. Fear is due to ignorance. Ignorance is darkness.
Krishna Surya Samaya Haya Andhakar.
Where the presence of sun, there cannot be darkness. Impossible. When you look at the sun and it is directly before your eyes, there is no darkness. If you look away from the sun, only then is there darkness. You see shadow. Fear cannot exist where there is actual Krishna consciousness. Because the presence of the sun of Krishna manifests within a devotee who worships him with love. This is Krishna's power. How much fear is in this world? People are so much motivated by fear. Fear for their health, fear for their wealth, fear for their future, fear of their past, fear of the present. Padam padam yad vipadam natesham. Danger at every step. Fearful situation. Therefore, so much anxiety. But fear, who has conquered the whole universal creation, as soon as Krishna's presence just disappears, cannot stand before him. That is the power of Krishna. He is feared by fear personified. The controlling agent of the entire material existence is fear. Why? Where there is lust, there is fear. Kama, material desire, is like the other side of the coin with fear. You cannot have one side of the coin without the other. You may like the one side and not like the other, but if you take one, the other comes. That is fact. As long as we have these selfish desires based on the bodily conception of life, we are plagued with imminent fear. Therefore, the whole world is fearful of death and suffering for themselves, for others. But simply by remembering Krishna one time with true devotion, fear disappears, cannot stand before Krishna. So Kunti is meditating in this way, that fear personified has to just escape wherever Krishna is manifesting. And yet, Krishna is trembling and weeping with lips quivering in fear of Yasoda. Yasoda Mai. Saddam Hussein, Osama bin Laden, even George W. Bush cannot put even a particle of fear in Krishna's heart. Even if all 250,000 soldiers were lined up, ready to attack Goloka, there would be no fear in anyone's heart. For themselves, out of love, they may fear for Krishna, but not for themselves. Krishna is not afraid of anything. But here is Yasoda, simple gopi. And Krishna is trembling in fear, weeping in fear, begging for mercy from Mother Yasoda. That is the power of love. There is no greater power than love. It is the only power that can actually conquer the sufferings and miseries of this world. This is Kunti Devi's glorification. This is the most intimate and beautiful feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How he is imprisoned in the heart of his devotees. How he gives up his independent free will by his own choice to be the prisoner in the heart of his devotee, to be conquered by love. Impersonalists can never understand this principle in truth, because this is not just a temporary reality. This is not just a concept which is like a step on a ladder that brings you higher and higher, and ultimately from the top step you just jump up and exist in the sky forever. It is not a stepping stone. It is the eternal, highest reality. The reality of personal love between the Jivatma and the Supreme, Sri Krishna. And because Krishna is imprisoned within the heart of his devotee, there's nowhere else that we can find him. There's through no other means that we can actually understand what is the Srimad Bhagavatam? What do these pastimes really mean? What is the teachings of Bhagavad Gita actually saying? What is the power of the holy name? These things are only understood when Krishna, who is within the heart of his devotee, reveals it to us. Therefore, association of devotees is the greatest benediction in all of creation. That was Murari Gupta's benediction also. He didn't want anything from the Lord. But the Lord, no, you must ask. At one time, Murari Gupta, by his lila, he appeared to be engaged in some scholarly pursuits, and he was a very, very learned scholar. But Lord Chaitanya sensed, and he puts his devotee in certain states to teach the world some inclination to karma and jnana. Karma means we perform our religious activities for some pleasurable material result. And jnana is through our power of discrimination, we try to discriminate between matter and spirit, and by cultivation of higher and higher and more intricate forms of philosophical knowledge, we can actually become liberated from suffering. So Nimai Pandit, he was just a small boy following behind Murari Gupta. And everything Murari Gupta was speaking to his students, he was imitating. And when a child does that, it's very irritating. Just like somehow, without even knowing, sometimes I move my eyebrows and do certain things, strange things. And my brother's little son, just a small boy, he just starts imitating exactly when I do these things. It's Krishna through him testing how transcendental I am. When someone imitates you, it's actually, what is this? So Nimai was just imitating. Murari Gupta would say, this verse can be understood in this way. And Nimai would go, this verse can be understood in this way. But when he did it in an exaggerated way. So Murari Gupta, get out of here. Everything he'd say, he just would just exaggerate the exact same words and the exact same expressions and motions. And Murari Gupta was becoming very annoyed in front of everybody else. He was just ridiculing him. So Nimai said to him, I will reveal everything to you. You will see. So then Murari went home. His wife, right? She brought him some prasad. He sat down to take prasad. And Nimai, he actually disguised himself. He was dressed up so beautifully. He had nice jewelries and garments and nice cloth, and his hair was tied up. So sweet. And Murari was just eating his rice. And Nimai came little closer, little closer. Murari didn't see him. Little closer, little closer. Then all of a sudden, psst.
near my past urine, right in his rice prasad. Murari Gupta was shocked. He could not say anything to it. He was just watching. No one does this. And then he smiled and ran away. He said, now I'm teaching you. You cannot mix this karma and jnana with bhakti. It's like mixing urine with prasad. So during the Satpraharya Leela, Murari Gupta is asking for benediction. He's saying, my Lord, I don't want anything. But if you will be unhappy that I do not ask something, then I must ask something. Understand this concept. This is very subtle, but sublime. He felt ashamed to ask something from the Lord. Just like Prahlad Maharaj said, I cannot do business with you. I don't want anything. But it made the Lord unhappy. So they were willing to actually experience what they considered a very, very shameful condition because it pleases the Lord. Murari Gupta refused to ask for anything, but he saw that it was making Lord Chaitanya unhappy, and his happiness is my happiness. So he asked. But what did he ask for? Let me always associate with your devotees, birth after birth after birth. But only that devotee who accepts you as his eternal master. Only that person who accepts the role of your eternal service. That means not the Mayavadis, not the impersonalists, not the materialists, but those who accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who lives in his eternal abode, in his beautiful form of Shamsundar, constantly immersed in the rasas of love with Sri Radhika and all of his devotees. Murari Gupta, Haridas Thakur, Kolavecha Sridhar, they all asked birth after birth after birth. This is their benediction. Kolavecha Sridhar says, in every consecutive birth I take, let me be the servant of your servants. Let me always remember that beautiful form of Nimai coming to take away everything I have. Haribo. Nimai was putting him in great poverty by taking away things. Let everything go to you, birth after birth after birth. Let me remember. Haridas Thakur, birth after birth after birth, let me get the remnants of your devotees. Murari Gupta, birth after birth after birth, my Lord, every birth I may take, let me associate and serve those who consider you their master and who are your eternal servants. It is this consciousness that pleases the Lord. Because this is actually the real expression of love. Lord Chaitanya, in his own words, prayed, Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayor Das 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 Anudas. This statement is so meaningful. It's absolutely contrary to material consciousness. In this world, everyone wants to become bigger and bigger and bigger. Is that not true? We want more prestige. We want more beautiful body. We want bigger wealth. We want bigger influence. We want bigger enjoyments. Everyone wants to become bigger, bigger, bigger. There's so much competition. Dog-eat-dog world. Why do dogs fight? Did you ever examine the behavior of dogs? Haribo. Dogs fight because they want proprietorship. They'll bark and they'll bite and they'll howl over a female dog or over a bone or a piece of food or over the illusory sense of control over a certain area.
Yes. In the Western world, so many dogs, especially in Southeast Asia, Malaysia, Thailand, these places. So many places have dogs. If you just go near the gate of the house, why? This is my house. Don't you come. I'm the controller. You have no right to come here. Srila Prabhupada, when he went through immigrations of some of these countries, he said, what is immigrations? It is just barking dogs, that's all. If there's any immigration officers here, you should be complimented, because Haridas Thakur wanted to be a dog, but Vaishnavs. But not that kind of dog. Tumito Thakur Tomara Kukur. Bhaktivinoda says, let me be dog for you, my Lord, and you always be my master. But the perverted reflection of that consciousness is we're thinking that I am the controller. This is my property. Who are you? Let me see your visa. Let me see your passport. Why have you come here? Ruff, 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 ruff. That was Prabhupada's interpretation of immigrations. Actually, everything is the property of Krishna. So when dogs fight, they're fighting over proprietorship, over something or someplace. And in the whole world, individually and collectively, so much fighting. Either for the subtle desires of ego influence, appreciation, control, or for the gross facilities. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suhritam sarva bhutanam gyatva mam shanti nachchati. Real peace can only come when we accept Krishna as the proprietorship and enjoyer of everything. We have nothing to fight about. So this is the devotee. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to reveal to the world what pleases him through the prayers of his devotees. They were willing to stay in this material world. That was their humility. But just let me be with your devotees and chant your names with them. That is the beauty of the association of devotees. It is the place where people actually believe in the supreme, eternal form and pastimes of the Lord. It is people who want to please the Lord eternally as his servant. In the association of devotees, the glories of the Lord are being discussed. The teachings of the Lord are being promoted. And everyone is united, finding the ultimate happiness in loudly glorifying his holy names. When we chant the holy names and glories of the Lord, as well as hear them, Krishna is pleased. When Krishna is pleased within our heart, he dispels all of the dirtiness of our hearts. It is not just a mechanical process. It is not just that we're chanting and therefore we're getting purified. We should understand how we're getting purified and why we're getting purified. Because Krishna is non-different than his name. Krishna's name has sweet will. It's not just a sound vibration. It is God who has incarnated in sound vibration. Nam nam akariba nija sarva shakti. All the powers of Krishna are within his name. And what is the greatest of all shaktis of Krishna? His ladini shakti. His pleasure potency. Everything is within the name of Krishna. Krishna is his name. Therefore, the holy name has a sweet will. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu graphically described
that if someone is disrespecting and offending my devotees and chanting the holy names, then my name will destroy him.
Haribo.
Because the name is Krishna. We're not controlling the name. The name is the supreme controller of all controllers. So when we are chanting in such a way that Krishna is pleased, then the holy name, Hare Srimati Radhika, Krishna, the supreme son of Nanda Maharaj, that personality, by their sweet will, cleanses our hearts from within. This is how we become cleansed by the chanting, by the sweet will of the holy name. But if we do not have the proper disposition, the proper understanding of who is Krishna and who is his name, if we're not chanting in a spirit of actual devotion as his eternal servants, if we're chanting with the desire to become God, does that please Krishna? Krishna may give us impersonal liberation, but he will not give us himself. He will not give us what the soul is longing for, pure love. So the Lord wants to reveal the essence of what pleases him through his devotees. And there's one consistent theme amongst all the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Their incredible humility. Examine how Lord Chaitanya reveals these truths through his devotees. There's Raghunath Das Goswami, our Prayojana Acharya, the Acharya of the highest Siddhanta of the rasas of Goloka. He was the only heir of the vast wealth of his father and uncle. His father, Govardhan Majumdar, only had one son. His uncle had no children, Hiranya. They had a vast empire of property. They married him to a beautiful, faithful, loving wife. He had everything. As they say, he had that golden spoon in his mouth. But every day, he was running away from it. They had to drag him back. 12 guards at all times, just making sure he didn't escape. He considered the wealth, the pleasures, and the luxuries of the world to be like a prison. And the amazing thing is his father and uncle were devotees. They weren't just atheistic people. They were devotees. In fact, they used their wealth so much in the service of the Vaishnavas. That's why when Raghunath Das went to Shantipur after Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, Advaitacharya brought him right in to see Lord Chaitanya personally. Because of everyone, Govardhan and Hiranya Majumdar, the father and uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami, were the main people giving contributions for the devotional activities of the Vaishnavas. They were supporting Advaitacharya's devotional service. They were supporting Jagannath Mishra's devotional service. They were giving donations to all the Vaishnavas without anything in return expecting. They were very charitable. And they had faith in Krishna and bhakti and Vaishnavas. But they were Karma Mishra Bhaktas. They were devotees, but they also were very much getting satisfaction, being proprietors and having control over others. Something like the demigod bhava.
They're doing it for Krishna, but they're also enjoying nicely themselves. Raghunath escaped. When he finally did escape, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu jokingly gave him that example, which I am always fond to speak. Should I speak? For Shyamananda Prabhu's pleasure. He said, Raghunath Das Goswami, to give up the material attachments that were given to you is impossible. It is simply impossible. Such wealth, such facilities for enjoyment, such comfort, no one can give that up. Only by the mercy of Krishna is it possible. Your father and uncle, although they're devotees and they're friends of my father and grandfather, therefore I will speak jokingly toward them, because amongst family members we can speak intimately. Their material wealth is like a pit that people go to pass. Yes. Correct. And your father and uncle are like two living. Where? Correct. How much realization you're speaking this? The Lord in the heart knows. And Raghunath Das Goswami, he didn't think he has any qualification to get Krishna's mercy. He said, my Lord, I don't know what is Krishna's mercy. I only know that you have saved me. And the way he approached Lord Chaitanya was never directly. He approached Raghava Pandit. He was so humble. Even though he was such a big, big person by material standards, when Nityananda Prabhu was at Panihati, sitting under that banyan tree on bank of Ganga, Raghunath felt himself so contaminated, so fallen, so sinful. How can I even come near Lord Nityananda? He kept a distance away, offering his obeisances. That was his humility. Nityananda Prabhu said, Raghunath, come. And he just, how could I come before you? Nityananda Prabhu had to chase after him and grab him and capture him. This is actually the process of bhakti. We can't just by our own knowledge or memory or austerities just enter into the spiritual lila of the Lord. But if we really have humility, then the Lord will come and take us, just bring us to Him. And Nityananda Prabhu and all the Vaishnavas blessed him. And on that basis, he was actually brought directly before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya taught the world by taking the person who was teaching the highest realms of devotion and making him the servant of his servant. You be the servant of Swarup Damodar Goswami. And Raghunath would not even ask Lord Chaitanya any questions. He felt, how can I approach the Lord directly? The Lord would just keep coming to him. After renouncing all of that and becoming the very crest jewel of renunciates, when Shivananda Sen came back from Puri, back to Bengal, the messengers of Raghunath's father asked Shivananda Sen, did you see our son Raghunath Das? He said, yes, I have seen. He's the very crest jewel of tapasya. He doesn't eat practically anything. He just wears the rags from the street. He's so very, very dear to all the devotees. When someone is proud, that person may impress people's minds. But usually that pride doesn't really let you go too deeply into the affection of people's hearts. But humility actually wins people's hearts. Raghunath Das was so dear to all the Vaishnavas. And yet, he presented this question to Lord Chaitanya through Swarup Damodar Goswami. He said, Raghunath Das wants to know that
I have renounced everything of this world, and I do not even understand why I did it or what I'm supposed to do. He was presenting himself as being completely ignorant. No pride. Total humility. He didn't say, Lord Chaitanya, can I have your Govardhan Shila? He was just serving the servants with such humility. Lord Chaitanya's heart melted seeing his humility. He personally gave him what was the most dear possession of his life, the Giriraj Shila that he kept hanging from his neck, that was bathed with his tears of love. He offered that to Raghunath. And Gunjamala, representing Sri Radharani's mercy. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally had Swarup Damodar and his servants supplying all the articles for him to worship his Govardhan Shila to his full satisfaction. Lord Chaitanya gave him himself and gave him all the means to worship himself. And he never asked for anything. What was his state of consciousness? When he was living in Vrindavan, at one point he was only eating a little pat of buttermilk a day in the palm of his hand. And some days he forgot about it. Now, if any of us were performing such a tapasya, we would probably become quite proud, thinking, look at that person. He's eating rotis and dal and sabjis and laddus and halwa and gulab jamuns, and I'm eating buttermilk. Hare Krishna. He had no pride in doing that. Just the opposite. When he would spend that 2 or 3 seconds eating his buttermilk, which was the only thing he put in his mouth all day, he was actually crying in shame, thinking, I'm so addicted to sense gratification that I'm taking all this time away from Krishna just to enjoy my senses. That was Raghunath Das Goswami. That was why that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, are eternally the prisoners within his heart. And Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis, what was their quality that attracted Lord Chaitanya's mercy so much upon them? Yes, they were great scholars. Yes, they renounced the vast wealth of ministers under the king. But there were other people with vast wealth and other people vastly learned. But they put straw between their teeth. They fell down at the feet of the Lord and they offered such prayers. We have no qualification for your mercy. Nothing. Like a dwarf trying to touch the moon. How can we possibly expect your mercy? We're lower than Jagai and Madhai. We're most abominable. We're just the servants of malechas, sinful, egoistic. Sanatan Goswami said, people say I'm learned and I'm such an ignorant fool. I believe them. Time and again, Lord Chaitanya said, stop speaking. Your humility is breaking my heart. Now, some flowery words do not break the heart of the Lord. But their words were the genuine expression of what they felt within the core of their heart. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered them to understand the innermost secrets of his own heart, which is the actual conclusion of all knowledge. He empowered them to disseminate this knowledge for the whole world. Thakur Haridas, when he 300,000 names a day, every day, without the slightest deviation from his vow, 192 attentive, offenseless rounds. Yes. Every day. And he did this his whole life. He was already an elderly man when he came to Puri to meet Lord Chaitanya. And Mahaprabhu was in his Gambira, the house of Kashi Mishra.
And all the devotees, he was calling them, come, come. He was welcoming them. He was embracing them, each one individually. He was praising their qualities with such love. He was asking, where is Haridas? Where is he? I must see him. The Lord was longing for his devotee. It's not by getting in the front of the line that you're going to see the Lord. The Lord, when he is pleased to see you, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, do not try to see Krishna. Try to serve Krishna in a way that he wants to see you. That is Haridas Thakur. The devotee said, there he is, down the road, laying in the dust, offering his obeisances. Bring him here, bring him here. Devotee ran out. Haridas said, how can I come in Lord Chaitanya's house? I'm so fallen, I'm so sinful, I'm so degraded, I have no right. Lord Chaitanya understood his heart, and he ultimately came out to Haridas and picked him up and embraced him and personally arranged his residence at Siddha Bakula. Haridas considered himself so fallen, he would never, ever, ever even consider going into Jagannath's temple. The social norms were that if somebody is outcast by birth, they are not allowed in. But he was praised by Advaitacharya, the best of Brahmins, to be the greatest of all Brahmins. But he actually felt so fallen, he would never go in. Therefore, Lord Jagannath would come out of his temple every day in the form of Lord Chaitanya to bring him Mahaprasad with his own hands. This is an incredible story. He's so humble, he won't go in. It's not that he didn't go in because he wasn't allowed. He didn't go in because he was just too humble to even think about it. The Lord would come out every single day to personally deliver his Mahaprasad to him and speak about Krishna with him for an hour every day. And one day when the Lord saw him chanting under the sunlight, he brought Jagannath's Mahaprasad toothbrush, put it in the ground. And by the Lord's will, that toothbrush became Siddha Bakula tree to give shade to Haridas Thakur. That is the love of the Lord for his devotee. That is how the Lord maintains his devotee. So this is the qualities that please the Supreme Personality of God. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed to the world why he was going to empower Srila Prabhupada to do what no other acharya has ever done before he even began his mission. Just as Haridas Thakur, Mukunda Das, Kolavetra Sridhar, Murari Gupta offered their prayers to the Lord to reveal, the Lord revealed his will through the hearts of his devotees. Similarly, Prabhupada offered his prayer on board Jaladuta. I do not know how to speak. I have no qualification. Only if you empower me, my Lord. Only if you make me like your dancing puppet. I have no knowledge. I have no devotion. But you have given me the name Bhaktivedanta. Now it is up to you, Lord, to fulfill the real meaning of Bhaktivedanta. Real spiritual empowerment comes by the sweet will of the Lord when he is pleased by our attitude. Performing service with our body and our words is an important function, essential function, to purify the heart. But essentially, what the Lord accepts is our attitude. The Lord sees from within,
What is our motivation? What is our purpose? In that one beautiful purport, Srila Prabhupada explains this, and I will end class because it is becoming late and you are all hungry and tired, and I am always doing like this to you. I'm sorry. Srila Prabhupada explains in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, accepts the purpose in which everything is offered to him. This is in reference to Raghava Pandit and Damayanti. At Panihati, on bank of Ganga, they would prepare so many wonderful foodstuffs, bhoga, to be brought to Lord Chaitanya. And they would pack them and sew them in little bags with their hands. So painstakingly, they would do their service. And she would make just what Lord Chaitanya wanted to eat. But then, in the next bag, there was bitter things, because she knew that Lord Chaitanya would get some indigestion from the previous thing. So this doesn't taste good, but it's good for his digestion. So Lord Chaitanya, when he would eat that item that was bitter and not tasty at all, he would taste such incredible nectar, because he understood the purpose of Damayanti and Raghava Pandit. The purpose was to please him, to serve him. So we cannot judge by our eyes necessarily. We cannot always judge things by our senses of what a devotee is actually doing for the Lord. If somebody's doing big, big things, everyone's bowing down. But what is that person's purpose? It may be egoistic. The Lord's satisfaction may be a lesser priority. And another devotee may be doing something very, very simple. No one knew who is Kolavecha Sridhar. To the world, he was just a very, very simple, poor, useless person. People used to just chastise him because he just appeared so useless, such a failure in life. But his purpose was so pure to please the Lord that the Supreme Personality of Godhead would come every single day for 2 hours and perform pastimes with him. So the Lord accepts the purpose in which everything is offered. What is our attitude? This must be cultivated. We must perform the services that we are assigned. We must chant our japa according to our vows every day. We must read Bhagavatam and come to the classes regularly. We must honor and worship the deities with sincerity. Only eat the Lord's prasad. We must perform our work offering the fruits of our actions for the welfare of others by serving Krishna. We cannot be sentimental and saying, my attitude is good, I don't have to do these things. Why should you go to the temple? God is within your heart. Why should you chant the holy names? God already knows that I know his name. So many people. But actually, if you love someone, you must show your love. To the degree we become attached to hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, to that degree we become detached from material aspirations. So we must perform our duties. But we also must very carefully cultivate and nourish the proper attitude, the right purpose. It is essential. It is the difference between a devotee who is superficial and a devotee with real
spiritual substance. What is our attitude? What is our purpose? That is what Krishna sees. That is what Krishna accepts. It is with that attitude that Krishna reciprocates. And how do we understand the attitude of a devotee? So many people speaking Bhagavatam, but what is actually the attitude that pleases Krishna when we speak or read Bhagavatam? That the Lord reveals through His devotees. It is for that reason the association of devotees is the very sustaining force of our spiritual lives. Because in that association, we can actually develop the proper attitude to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Really, what is bhakti? In one sense, bhakti means our attitude, our purpose. Duryodhana was fighting, Arjuna was fighting. One was bhakti, one wasn't. Physically, they were doing the same thing, but the attitude, the purpose of Arjuna was simply to please Krishna. And Duryodhana, his purpose and attitude was his ego. That is the heart, the very heart, the essence of devotion. Trinadapi sunichena taror iva sehishnana amani na manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Humble like the grass, laying on the street. Tolerant like tree, offering all respect to others with no expectation for oneself. In this state, with this attitude, with this purpose, which is revealed in all the intimate associates of the Lord, Krishna becomes a prisoner within our heart. Lord Kapila Dev explains to us that if one has this proper attitude in the association of devotees, becoming more and more attracted and attached to hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, Krishna becomes conquered in this very life. Srila Prabhupada told us that the powers of Maya from without cannot disturb the progress of our mission. But when Maya comes within, when Maya tampers with devotees' purpose, with their motives, with their attitudes towards each other, towards Krishna's property, then Maya could create havoc. So we must be very, very diligent to cultivate and develop the proper devotional spirit. And in this light, Krishna becomes present as a prisoner of love. And when we open our mouths to speak His glories, Krishna manifests Himself as He does when we chant His holy name. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananti Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai, Shri Radha Gopinath